Today we're going deep into Jungle Warfare, an advanced Ableton Live 12 Ghost Note Masterclass for Foreshaking Low End. And I want to start with the big idea, because this is where a lot of drum and bass programming either stays okay or becomes seriously elite. Ghost notes are not just tiny drum hits. Think of them as micro moments of pressure. Tiny rhythmic events, yes, but also tiny frequency events. They push the groove forward, make the next backbeat feel bigger, and create that illusion of movement where the whole drum pattern feels like it's breathing. That's the jungle magic right there. So in this lesson, we're building a dark, club-ready 170 to 174 BPM DNB loop in Ableton Live 12, using ghost snares, subtle kick ghosts, and a bass line that responds to the drums instead of fighting them. We'll keep the sub clean and mono safe, let the mids do the movement, and use stock Ableton devices to shape the whole thing into something heavy, but controlled. Let's get the project set up. First, set your tempo. A really strong sweet spot for this kind of thing is 172 BPM. It gives you that classic jungle energy without feeling rushed. Now create a few tracks so the session stays organized. You want your main drums, your ghost layer, your sub bass, your mid or re-space, a little FX or atmosphere track if you need it, and ideally a reference track as well. In Live 12, keep your detail view open and the MIDI editor visible while you work. That makes ghost note programming way faster, because you can edit velocities, note lengths, and timing all in one place. Now, before you even touch the ghost notes, lock in the backbone. Build a simple, powerful drum pattern first. Kick on the downbeat, snare on beats 2 and 4, and a few syncopated kicks in the gaps. The point here is clarity. You want the listener to always feel where the center of the groove is before you start bending it around with little off-grid details. A good starting point might be to kick on the first beat, another kick in a syncopated position before the second snare, and a main snare on 2 and 4. Add hats with some 16th note or 32nd note motion, but don't overcomplicate it yet. The groove should already feel like it moves, even before the ghost layer is added. For sound choice, keep the kick tight and punchy, and make sure the snare has enough crack to cut through a dense mix. A little body is good, but don't let the low mids get muddy. In drum and bass, especially darker jungle-influenced stuff, clarity is part of the weight. On the main drum bus, stock devices do a lot of the heavy lifting. Use drum bus for punch and density, EQ 8 to carve out space, and saturator if you want a little more harmonic bite. A good starting point on drum bus is a modest amount of drive, a little crunch if needed, and just enough transient to bring the snap forward. Don't overdo boom unless the kick really needs extra chest, because the low end is already going to be doing a lot of work. Now comes the fun part, the ghost layer. Make ghost notes their own separate layer, either on a separate MIDI track or a separate chain inside a drum rack. That separation matters. Ghost notes usually need different EQ, different saturation, different decay, and often different compression behavior than the main hits. If you treat them like the same thing as your main snare or kick, the mix gets blurry fast. For ghost snares, use something related to the main snare, but softer. That could be the quieter snare version, a rimshot style hit, a filtered break slice, or a little noisy percussion tick with the right kind of attack. The important thing is that it should feel like a smaller sibling of the main hit, not a totally random sound. Now place them around the backbeat. A classic move is to put a ghost snare just before the main snare, or shortly after it, so the groove has that little lean forward and rebound. For example, in a one-bar loop, you might add a ghost before beat 2, another ghost in the space after it, then repeat the idea before beat 4. A more rolling jungle phrasing often works best when the last 16th before a main snare has a tiny pickup note, because that creates instant anticipation. And here is the important part. Velocity. Ghost notes should usually live in a much lower range than the main hits. Think something like 15 to 55 for ghost notes, while the main snares are much higher, maybe around 90 to 127 depending on the sample. A really solid contrast is to keep the main snare around 110 to 120 and the ghost snare around 25 to 45. That difference is what gives the groove depth. But don't just think about volume, think about timing. A little micro-timing goes a long way. Push some ghost snares a few milliseconds early, drag others a touch late. That asymmetry is one of the reasons jungle feels alive. It's not just the notes themselves. It's the way they lean against the grid. Ableton's groove pool is great for this, especially if you want a subtle swing. You can apply a groove lightly to the ghost layer while keeping the main snare more anchored. That way the groove breathes without falling apart. Now let's talk about kick ghosts. This is one of the most underrated weapons in the whole style. Kick ghosts are tiny low-end pushes. They're not supposed to read like full kicks. They're supposed to feel like pressure nudges, little propulsion points that make the groove move without announcing themselves too loudly. Try placing a ghost kick before a snare, or in the spaces between your main kicks. The idea is to create tension and rebound. Just be careful that the ghost kick doesn't fight your sub bass. That's the trap. In a bass-heavy arrangement, ghost kicks should be more percussive than subby. On the ghost kick channel, use EQ8 if the click is too obvious. Trim the level with utility if needed, and add just a touch of drum bus or saturator if you want it to read better on small speakers. Keep it restrained. The goal is motion, not a second bass line. Now we build the bass around the drums. This is a big one. In Serious Jungle and DNB, the bass doesn't lead the drums. The drums and ghost notes tell the bass when to breathe. Use a two-layer bass approach. For the sub layer, keep it clean. Operator or wave-eatable works great. Use a sine or near sine waveform. Keep it mono, and make sure the envelope is tight and controlled. No stereo widening in the sub. None. That's a recipe for messy low end. For the mid or res layer, go wider and more aggressive. Wave-eatable, analog or resampled synth all work. Detune saws, phase movement, filtered unison, that sort of thing. High-pass it so it stays out of the sub zone, then automate the filter or use an LFO to create motion. Now the rhythm. Let the bass answer the drums. Maybe the bass note lands after the kick, or a short bass pickup answers a ghost snare, or a longer bass note stretches through a quiet space and then drops out right before a strong backbeat. That call and response feel is pure jungle pressure. It keeps the groove from becoming static and gives the whole track that rolling, predatory energy. Now we control the low end. Use sidechain intelligently. A compressor on the bass bus keyed from the kick is a classic move, but don't just smash it. You want a controlled duck, not obvious pumping unless that's part of the vibe. Start with a ratio around 2:1 to 4:1, a fast attack, and a release that breathes in time with the groove. Aim for a few dB of gain reduction on the main kick hits. If compression feels too blunt, you can get more surgical with volume shaping or automation. Sometimes a fast rhythmic dip sounds cleaner than heavy compression, especially in dense DNB arrangements. Now let's sculpt the ghost layer so it feels present without taking over. A really solid ghost snare chain is EQ8, then drum bus, then saturator, and maybe a compressor if you need extra control. High pass the ghost layer, so it doesn't cloud the low end. Clean out any muddy low mids, and if the note needs to speak on small speakers, give it a little presence in the upper mids. The key idea is this. The ghost note should be more audible on small systems, but it should never compete with the main snare in the club. You're shaping harmonics and attack, not just turning up the volume. And this is where the more advanced mindset comes in. Don't think of the ghosts as tiny drum hits. Think of them as momentary spectral pushes. A short transient that makes the backbeat feel bigger. A small mid-range event that helps the rhythm read even when the sub is doing something heavy. Or a micro drop in energy that creates the illusion of impact when the main hit returns. That perspective changes how you write the parts. Also, use negative space aggressively. If the loop starts feeling too busy, don't add more notes right away. Remove one ghost before a snare. Remove one extra kick in the second half of the bar. Call out a hat accent before the bass answer. In jungle and DNB, sometimes the missing hit is what makes the next hit feel huge. Now, groove. A good jungle feel is often about layered humanization rather than one global shuffle setting. You can give the main drums a pretty light groove, maybe 0 to 15%, while the ghost notes get more swing, maybe 20 to 45%, and hats or percussion can go even looser if the pattern can handle it. That contrast creates depth. Everything isn't moving the same way, so the groove feels alive instead of mechanically shuffled. Now let's use ghost notes as arrangement tools. In an intro, keep the ghosts quiet and sparse. They can imply the groove before the drop fully lands. In the drop, increase ghost density a bit. Add more pickups before snares, more kick ghosts in the gaps, maybe even a few tiny 30-second note flurries if the rhythm needs extra excitement. In the breakdown, strip back the main hits and let the ghosts do the teasing. A filtered ghost snare, a sparse sub pulse, maybe some reverse tails, and suddenly the listener is waiting for the impact again. And in fills, use ghost notes like punctuation. They're great for leading into snare rolls, break edits, halftime switches, or drop resets. A fill feels more professional when the ghost notes are acting with intention, not just decorating the bar. Now, here's a really powerful advanced move. Resample. Bounce out 4 or 8 bars of your drums with the ghost layer active, drag the audio back into a new track, and start chopping or warping it. You can slice it to a new MIDI track, pull out little details, and even rebuild new accents from your own programming. This is huge because it lets you print the movement you've created. It also gives you unique micro grooves and can make the drums feel more like an actual performance, especially once a little bus saturation has been baked in. You can even resample the ghost layer by itself. That often gives you a really interesting source for new percussion, since tiny resonant details and room texture can become fresh one-shots. A couple of extra coach notes here.